At the Inspirational Living Podcast, we honor the entrepreneurial spirit. But if you've ever started a new business, you know the challenges are many. It seems like your to-do list keeps growing every day. Finding the right tool that not only helps you out but simplifies everything can be a real game changer. For millions of small business owners, that tool is Shopify. Did you know that 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. is powered by Shopify? That's because Shopify makes it quick and easy to build a beautiful online store to match your brand. Backed with AI tools, they also accelerate content creation, such as product descriptions, page headlines, and product photography. Turn your big business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/inspirational. Go to shopify.com/inspirational. shopify.com/inspirational. Welcome to the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's reading was edited and adapted from Out into Life by Douglas Horton, published in 1924. The hero of this book is you. The adventurous figure which casts its shadow on every page is your own. Had it not been for you, this book would never have been dreamed of. It was written concerning you and for you. You may make it the most important and interesting one you have ever read. At school, you have studied sections of life, its literature, its science, its history, etc. But now you must look at life as a whole. You must ask yourself the colossal question, how can I live a really great life? This life toward which you look, what an amazing, splendid sight it is. Its thousand motions, lights and colors, fascinate the dullest eye. It is full of love, hates and prides, crime, guilt and cunning, arresting heroism, beauty and temptations, all the virtues and all the vices. Now and again are found broken spirits and bowed heads, but there are also upturned faces, outstretched arms, and exultant voices. At first glance, life seems to be mere chaos, but as one studies it, a sense of order emerges. All people can be classified as having one of three attitudes toward life. These correspond to the three general stages in the development of the human race. In the early days, the struggle for mere physical existence was the chief concern of people and animals alike. The law of the jungle was, live. Kill if you will, but live you must. There was something heroic about these first women and men, who lived according to the light they had. Given over to fearful crime and passion, plunged into the blackest ignorance, preyed upon by hideous and grotesque delusions, yet steadfastly striving to survive, they rescued triumphantly the torch of life, which, thanks to them, now lights the world for us. But with all their heroism, their conduct still did not much differ from that of the beasts among which they lived. They killed and ate like the wolves they had not yet tamed into dogs. They fled for safety from their enemies to the nearest cave, and made their prey of anything they were strong enough to kill. It was a mortal combat, in which the weak received no quarter. Then, with the coming of language and imagination, whereby humanity could better understand one another, the human race rose to a fuller kind of life, there was just as much struggle in it, but there was more justice in the struggle. The law now became live and let live. It was still every woman and man for themselves, but now it was deemed wrong for people to prey upon each other. Each person, with very few exceptions, was to have the right to live, or at least that was the ideal. Aristotle, one of the greatest thinkers of the ancient world, described an ideal individual as one who pursued their own interests and allowed others to pursue theirs, and that the person who is great-minded is the one who values themselves highly, and at the same time justly. The great-minded woman and man has honor for their object, and it is honor that they consider themselves especially worthy of. It would not be in the character of the great-minded soul to injure anyone. They are to live independent of all other people, save their closest friends. They do not bear malice, nor do they talk of other people at all. This is a high ideal, to be sure, but is there not something in life more valuable than personal honor? Indeed, there is. And with the spread of spirituality and the gospel of life, a new height was reached by the human race. The key word, live, was still retained, and so was the struggle it represented. But living now began to mean something more even than live and let live. It became live and help others live, for it was realized that our own success and happiness is inextricably linked with the success and happiness of others. When it comes to success, you will find life the same everywhere. There is always a chance for success in it. Every day brings opportunity for achievement. And of course, if there is a chance for success in life, there must also be a chance for failure. But for those people who forge ahead, it never ceases to be a brilliant adventure. Now, as we do forge ahead, we have to make many decisions about what is right and wrong. How will you know you've decided rightly? There is only one way. You must think the matter out for yourself. Look at the world you live in squarely. See what it is. Draw your own conclusions. One thing is certain. The world, and by this I mean the universe, everything in life taken as a whole, the sum of all things, is presented to you as opportunity. It lies before you almost without limits, to do with as you will. It is not something we have earned, but comes to us as a free gift. We are the heirs of all the centuries. Now, what is this world which provides us opportunity? Where did it come from? What is its purpose? What lies behind it all? Look at it this way. If you received an anonymous gift of $1 million, you will probably conclude, and rightfully, that some rich person was interested in your well-being. Well, the world is, as it were, an anonymous gift, or rather, a number of anonymous gifts. And the best way to find out where it came from and what lies behind it is to examine it, for a giver is known by their gift. At the heart of the world there is power. Look, for instance, at the sky on a cloudless night. Many of those stars, some of which have a circumference greater than the orbit of the Earth, are racing through space at a rate of more than 20 miles a second. What energy! Everywhere, in earthquakes, storms, and less sudden manifestations, the world exhibits tremendous forces. Are we not bound to conclude that the giver of such gifts must possess great power? and that the cause must have in it as much energy as the effect, and that the world is filled with both power and intelligence? Remember, the world is more than the forces of nature. The human race is also a part of it. When we remember the great thinkers of the past, such as Aristotle, Galileo, and Newton, a moment's reflection makes it clear that the world cannot have been given to us by a mere mechanical force. Such a blind power could perhaps produce a volcanic eruption, but it could not have created an Aristotle, for no stream flows higher than its source. No creation can be more intelligent or in any way rise higher than its creator. We thus cannot conceive that a thinking person was made by a force which is not itself capable of thinking. At the source of the world, there must be intelligence as well as power. And at the heart of the world, there must also be love. The world itself must indeed have a heart. For how else could it have produced the love manifested in the selfless acts of so many women and men? The great sacrifices made for the well-being of others, be it the sacrifices made by mothers and fathers, the soldier who throws themselves on a grenade, or the revolutionary lives of people like Joan of Arc, Mahatma Gandhi, or Martin Luther King. So the force which lies behind the world, since it does possess power, intelligence, and love, is not to be thought of as a thing, but a being. A being that we are told we have been made in the likeness of. That is, God. Acknowledging all that, can anyone escape the feeling that, since we have received so much from God, we are duty-bound to make the best return we can, that we are always to make the most of our opportunities by doing our best in the service of others and by showing gratitude for life each and every day? You face the most thrilling years the world has ever seen. If you love learning and discovery, you have more information and equipment at your disposal than Plato, Copernicus, or Darwin had. The world into which you are stepping is marvelous beyond the wildest dreams of the prophets. Forge ahead and fulfill your debt of honor. Live a truly great and useful life.